Well, as you just heard, DACA recipients have been living in this state of limbo for some time now. And when your future is undetermined, that instability can cause a whole lot of stress, maybe even depression or anxiety, sometimes long-lasting trauma. Well, it can be a daily struggle for many of Greater LA's immigrant population who qualify for DACA, so-called Dreamers. And with us to talk about the effects of that trauma and ongoing stress of many immigrants is Dr. Emmanuel Maidenberg, who's professor of psychiatry over at UCLA. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's never any fun to be sort of in a state of limbo and not knowing what your future holds. I don't want to mislead anyone thinking that, you know, you've been seeing people who have been Dreamers or DACA recipients, but I mean, you know, from a standpoint of the human psyche, it can be really challenging, can't it?
I'd say it's one of the most stressful things that can happen when you do not have a minimal level of predictability and in some cases sense of control over the future. So yes, it's one of the most stressful things that can happen in terms of human experiences, yes.
The one thing that I think separates Dreamers from the rest, even other undocumented immigrants in this country, is that most of them came here as children, very young children, and they don't know any other society but the American society. So if you threaten to take that away from them or to move them to another place that's completely, dare I say, foreign to them, how do these things manifest in a person's life, do you think?
It really depends on an individual. The most typical reactions are of feeling more anxious, as in preparing for something that one cannot adequately prepare for. Specific symptoms, difficulties with sleep, changes in appetite, loss of interest in activities, feelings of fear, difficulties maintaining or investing in interpersonal relationships. All levels of one's life are typically affected by a stressor of that kind. Other people feel more depressed. They withdraw completely and stop doing things that typically help them. So it really depends on the individual. The important thing to remember, I think, for everybody who goes through something like that, is that whatever reaction they have is likely to be normal. Normal meaning that they have the right to feel what they feel. They feel things that one would feel in this circumstance. And so that the validation, the self-validation, that this is, I'm dealing with something that is truly stressful and I may need some help, is really important.
That lack of predictability, I think, can be used as an example in many predicaments. If you're not performing well at your job, or you feel some sort of instability at work, or you know your marriage isn't going well, or you know something in your personal life where you're just not sure what's going to happen. Because I mean, life is about not knowing what's going to happen, right? What do you tell patients in situations like that?
One of the most important features of these anxieties that we feel is the doubt that we have whether we can cope with whatever is coming our way. And in most cases, we are, as human beings, resilient enough to cope with most stressors of a kind that you just described and others. Although it is also a function of one's personal experience. So it's very difficult to generalize as to individuals' response to a sense of unpredictability. What helps is reminding yourself that by the time you get to a certain age, you probably dealt with a great deal of stressors and you were able to come out okay. And then trust yourself in terms of being able to do what needs to be done to help yourself.
There was a recent federal court decision that declared that the government must supply mental health services to thousands of immigrant parents and children who suffered psychological trauma. This is from the Trump administration's so-called family separation practices. What psychological harm could come from being separated from your parents at such a young age?
This is a whole different level of stress that children go through. We do not really have adequate models to know exactly what happens because these are very unusual circumstances of forcefully or purposefully separating children from their parents for periods of time. It all depends on the length of time that it takes for the children to be reunited. It depends on the age of the child. We know that children under age of 2 may have difficulty forming attachments in the future. So, you know, relationships suffer. Children tend to withdraw or become overly dependent on adults. Children who are over age 2 have similar symptoms to the ones that we just talked about in adults, which is feeling more anxious or more depressed. Again, most of them have enough resilience to get through something like that, but it's not something that can be ignored, and I don't think that as a society we really want to deal with this level of stress and impose it on children.
And really, I mean, there is no guarantee, especially when you're talking about the separation between a child and a parent, there's no guarantee that they will be reunited, or it will take a long time for that reunification to happen. So can we assume, because this is happening in formative years for children, that it has lifelong effects?
I would say that in general, it is safe to say that there is an impact. What specific impact and to what extent it's going to affect one's life is difficult to predict.
What would be the best treatment, do you think, ideally, for parents and for the children who have endured this kind of trauma? What do you tell them? What kind of treatment would you advise them?
It depends on the specific symptoms. We try to be very pragmatic in helping particular children. It depends on what they need. We provide a great deal of education. We validate people's experiences. We want for people to know that whatever they feel is not weird or strange or unusual, it's not their fault. And that in itself goes a long way to secure people's capacity to use their own skills and their own capacity to overcome some of these stressors. At times it gets to the point of being so severe that it needs more specific help. Treatments for anxiety disorders, treatments for depression, it depends on the specifics.
It really does say a lot, though, you know, that these kinds of decisions made at the highest levels can have such an effect, even, you know, in the most minute ways. And it's something that we're watching and obviously anticipating with the Supreme Court case. I want to thank you, Dr. Emmanuel Maidenberg, UCLA professor of psychiatry who specializes in anxiety and depression and coping. Professor, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Well, coming up, was it a link or was it a hack? The fight over documents about alleged police misconduct in Fullerton. You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW.